Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Nashville Sounds general manager Adam Neuse drop by at 7:45. Looking forward to that conversation. Chris Mason at 8:30. We'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators. And then our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to talking to Charles. A lot to get to with the Tennessee Titans and some NFL hot topics as well. And Joe, speaking of the NFL, reports have come out of what the NFL salary cap number could look like heading into the 2021 season. As we know, the salary cap was going to go down based on the COVID protocols and, you know, everything that happened last year from a league revenue standpoint with COVID-19 being a part of the equation. Last season, the salary cap was $198 million. The floor last week we realized was going to be at $180 million, but it looks like it's not going to get up to the projected $185 million that some people thought that it might. Somewhere in the range of $182 to $183 million is the report from Pro Football Talk. So if that's the case and it ends up $182, $183 million, somewhere in that range for the salary cap, what does that mean for the NFL at large? What does that mean for the Titans with some of the decisions that they're going to have to make here this offseason? What could be a very busy offseason for John Robinson and the Tennessee Titans?
Well, there's always cap casualties. There's going to be a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We focus on the guys who obviously they might go out and pay, like Matthew Judon. Carl Lawson, who, by the way, there's talk about the Bengals tagging Carl Lawson, which would be 15-9, I think. Man, that's a number. I guess I'd be surprised if that's the case. He's a good player, but he's one of those guys. Maybe you don't have to pay as much. Yeah. Maybe you do. But there are, and I went through that. Let me see if I can find that list I had last week. There's going to be a lot of guys out there who are going to have to take pay cuts on the open market just because, I mean, teams just have to make tough choices. There's going to be more tough choices, you know, this year than any year we can remember. Because of that, you're going down $16 million if that's what it is.
I think there's going to be a whole lot of one-year deals, too. Like, I don't envision a situation where lots of free agents this year are signing, you know, your long-term deals. Like, you know, some will. I mean, you're going to get your close to normal market value for some of the top guys on the market. So, like, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Corey Davis gets offered, you know, a multi-year deal at $11, $12 million per season. And maybe he takes that deal. But I do think, based on the salary cap projections, we're going to see a whole lot of one-year deals this offseason.
Yeah, like the really coveted players, it's still going to be, you know, teams competing with each other to sign them, and you can move things. That's the thing with salary cap. Look, obviously there's a big impact, but as we've seen and we'll continue to see, you can be creative and figure your way around some things and move things around. And so maybe you'll see some of those deals that were as big as they would have been in a normal year, but the money's moved around. I mean, that stuff happens all the time. But I think you're right. I think more of those mid-level players will probably be, you know, shorter-term deals and hope that things come back just like they were supposed to be. I think this year you would have expected the cap to be about 205, something like in the twos.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. If you, it's $16 million down, but, you know, it's $23 million down from what you expected. When you were building your team, John Robinson or every other GM in this league, you don't just say, who's our guys and what are we paying them this year? It's what's the next year look like? What's the next year look like? You know, Vin Marino is the Titans capologist, so to speak. So then all of a sudden that gets just totally foiled. Again, for everyone. So, but some teams going to pay for it more than others. But, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of guys who might be pretty good players that you could get for pennies on the dollar because of this situation. Now, the problem is then who are you losing, you know? And how many of your guys you'd love to bring back do you just have to say, nope, sorry?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we've talked about the obvious free agent decisions, you know, Corey Davis, Johnny Smith, Jayon Brown. Those three, they're absolutely huge and pivotal for the Titans. But also, I mean, I think the more and more we talk about it, the more and more we look at it, it's very, I think, likely at this point the Titans are going to lose one, maybe a couple of good players that they have just based on salary cap projections. Not even people who are free agents, just the salary cap cuts that they may have to make, whether it's Kenny Vaccaro or Malcolm Butler, or even yesterday we brought up Adoree Jackson maybe being a part of that discussion as well. Like, you know, they were already, when you bring in Tannehill, which, by the way, his contract continues to look better and better. Derrick Henry, you signed that deal. You were projecting for the salary cap to continue to grow and continue to get better. Now that it hasn't, it's not just the Titans, but the Titans, I think, are certainly going to be hammered by this and really going to have to get creative with what they do in the offseason. That's probably going to mean losing some players on both sides of the ball that you'd rather keep around, but you just can't from a numbers perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about – we don't talk much about Daquan Jones, but I think it's just because it's just assumed, you know, that he's going to sign somewhere else.
It kind of feels like a foregone conclusion to me that he's gone.
But look, like to your point there, some people who are under contract, we talk about Butler, Adoree, of course. You know, we don't know what's going on with Adam Humphries. You know, Ben Jones, an important guy on this team. You know, a guy who his cap number next year is $7.25 million. You cut him, you save $6.25 million of that. You only have $1 million in dead money. Now, what are you losing there? It's funny because a couple years ago I was like, okay, they got to move on from Ben Jones, and actually, he just keeps proving me wrong. And I think he's played pretty darn well the last couple of years, and he's a team leader. So all those things have to be taken into account. But there's another candidate, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. You don't want to do too much to disrupt that offensive line, but do you feel good about like an Aaron Brewer, you know, or someone like that? Or just, you know, it's time to draft someone, draft your next center. That's another one that you throw in the mix of possibilities. I mean, last year, I don't think a single person, if someone did this, then please correct me. I don't think a single person mentioned Jarrell Casey as something that they might do. Yeah. I didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross my mind. So think about this offseason, this situation financially, and whether there's an even, you know, something comparable. I don't know that – I mean, I don't know what it would be. I don't know that anything would be a shock like Jarrell Casey was last year, unless, like, you know – you looked at like Roger Saffold. I mean, he's got a big number. I wouldn't touch him. I think the guy after that shaky start has been great. You know, not always great in pass pro, but I mean, he's been a really big part of their run game. But, you know, you're talking about saving almost $8 million. I mean, something like that is, you know, is there Kevin Byard? Hey, throw them all out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Kevin Byard, but like, just I don't honestly think that's even a second of consideration.
Right, right.
And if you really want to get in the nitty gritty on his situation, by the way, like, it's 11-5 in dead money.
Yeah.
So, but
he'll,
I'm just
he'll
saying,
be on the team next year.
He'll be on the team. But I'm just saying, like, you can go down the list at this point with the way this is, and you could pick at anyone out and say, well, maybe. Jarrell Casey came out of left field, so, or at least it did to us.
Yeah. The more I look at the salary cap and just the different hurdles the Titans are going to have to jump through, the more I'm convinced that both Christian Fulton and Imani Hooker are going to be starting for this team next year. Like, I think Kenny Vaccaro is a really good player, but just based on the money that they're going to have to try to save to keep this team intact. Like, I think when you've got the depth they have at the safety position, I just think he's going to end up being a casualty. And quite frankly, like, at the end of the season, I didn't really – I mean, I considered it, but you want to keep Kenny Vaccaro around. I think he's a really good player. But the more I look at these projections and the numbers, the more I'm convinced that both Christian Fulton and Imani Hooker are going to be starting next year for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Unless, again, there's a bigger one in here that we're not anticipating.
Sure.
But I think anywhere, and this isn't just for the Titans, but anywhere that you have a three that you like, I think a whole bunch of teams are going to the three. Who are the threes? You know, David Long, Imani Hooker, you're up, right? I mean, I think that makes sense. It's still $3 million in dead money. If you cut Vaccaro, you're basically slicing his money in half, which hurts you. But you're saving almost $4 million. So when you do the math, and this can't be fun. I mean, it's already, I'm sure, not fun, cut guys and all that stuff, but, like, this has got to be brutal, you know, for teams, because some guys that you wouldn't even think about in a normal year, you're like, here's five guys, we got to cut three of them.
Yeah, like, I wonder what those conversations are going to be like with John Robinson, like, hey, man, sorry, we don't want to cut you, but we just don't have a choice. Good luck, man.
So, again, so there's an example. Like, so let's think about it from another team's perspective. And this is where the Titans need to take advantage on their end.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, if there's another team out there and all of a sudden Kenny Vaccaro's like, dude, that's a good starting safety for you. You can get cheap now. And someone will pounce on that. You know? And the same thing, like, if Butler or Adoree, if one of those guys is gone or whatever. I mean, there is going to be it's almost like college sports to me has become so much about the transfer portal and transfers and finding the right ones, keeping your guys, recruiting your guys to stay, you know? Like, this is going to be a wild year, I think, in terms of the shrewd teams who find some of these guys on the cheap that just other teams just cannot keep. Some good football players making less money than they would have made next year.
Yeah, I think so. And that's, like you said, it's not just the Titans' problem. It's going to be something that the whole league is going to have to deal with, and could have some really good players out there on the open market unexpectedly that you can get for cheap. So Titans probably going to lose some of those guys. Also, an opportunity to maybe bring some of those guys in as well. When we come back, we're going to throw out a question that we discussed a little bit yesterday, and that is having to do with the salary cap and the numbers we just threw out there. If you could only keep one, who would you keep, Malcolm Butler or Adoree Jackson? We'll debate that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Tennessee Titans and, Joe, maybe the salary cap gymnastics they're going to have to try to pull off here for John Robinson and the Titans front office moving forward here this offseason. And a question that we threw out there and talked about a little bit yesterday after Corey Curtis from News 2 joined our show is Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson. And if you were the Titans, if you had to pick one, had to cut one, who would you go with? Now, Corey Curtis, not very high on Adoree Jackson, talked about, you know, the fifth-year option that the Titans have picked up. There's a way to get out of that, and if he were the Titans, he would probably try to get out of it at this point and leave Malcolm Butler in the fold and just kind of roll from there at the cornerback position. You're not as down on Adoree Jackson as Corey Curtis is. So I think I know your answer. If you had to pick one to keep and one to cut, you would say probably Malcolm Butler gone?
God, it's hard,
though. It's hard.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I heard Jared yesterday making his case for Malcolm Butler. He made a good case, you know, compliment to Jared Stillman.
Nice.
But he made a good case that Butler, you know, play is one of your best players, a football player, you know. You know what you have with him. You know what you had this year on a bad defense. And if basically it's the same, and again, you know, to review on this, it's basically a $10.2 million savings either way. Now, of course, Butler also has, you know, more. Now, he has more years on his deal as well. But this year, the cap savings, $10.2 million. Why would you not want to go with more of a sure thing? I get that. And honestly, like, I would guess, like, if Mike Vrabel's just making the decision, I think he would pick Butler over Adoree, too.
He loves Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. Well, they all do.
What's not to love?
Dean Pease loved him. Even when he, like, when he was really struggling early in his first year with the Titans, Dean Pease was, he was mad at us for ripping him, you know, because, he was giving up big plays. But they loved the guy. And Adoree, I think, is a frustrating good player. But, I just think speed's the name of the game. And I think Adoree Jackson played really well in 2019. I thought he took a step as a player. So I think in the final analysis, as painful as it would be for me, I think I would go with Adoree and go with the guy who's more talented, who's faster, and who, I think, is getting a little bit knocked excessively for just being hurt last year, and he tried to come back and play. He wasn't good. I think he's a better corner than Malcolm Butler by a smidge.
That's a difficult part to me because I agree. I think a lot of the conversation around Adoree right now is very negative. And I think, you know, the way last year went, not being able to get on the field, and once he finally got on the field, it was rough. It looked bad out there at times. I mean, the Green Bay game is one thing. You're in the snow. You're trying to guard Davante Adams. Good luck. I mean, it's just – it's not going to happen. But there were other – I mean, the Houston game, he looked bad in that game. The playoff game at times, he looked bad against the Ravens. So it was not pretty for Adoree Jackson. How much of that was, you know, what he is as a player, and how much of that is a guy coming back from injury? I mean, I think that has to be factored into the discussion. And I agree, in 2019, towards the end of the season, I thought he's playing really well. I've always said, and I said it even before the season last year, there's still another level that I think Adoree Jackson needs to get to, and I certainly feel that way now based on what we've seen so far. I still think he's a good player. But if I had to pick, I'm keeping Malcolm Butler. I mean, I think you know what he is. He is going to compete on every play. Now, he has also, I think, proven at this point that he's going to give up some plays as well. But, I mean, you have to live with that if you're the Titans. And he didn't give up a ton. Like, as bad as that defense was last year, Malcolm Butler didn't give up a ton of big plays down the field. So, if I had to pick one to keep right now, I would pick Malcolm Butler. I do think it is very close. But, Joe, I'll tell you this. I think if we asked Titans fans about this, I think it would be overwhelming in support of Malcolm Butler, and I just don't know that that is fair.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I think it would be 75%.
We need to do that poll this week. See, so look at it in terms of the whole thing. Like, let's say, you know, you have a secondary of, I mean, I have a suspicion that it's probably going to be King going somewhere and one of these guys cut again. When you look at the challenges. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that it's, you know, it's Desmond King, Christian Fulton, and then one of these two guys. I mean, King, Fulton, Jackson, that to me is a secondary with the collective, you know, a corner group with the collective speed you need in today's NFL. And I think King, Fulton, Butler is not. And I know. I mean, we're just talking about one player swapping him for the other, but I just feel like the overall speed, you've got to have it. And if you have Fulton and Jackson, you have guys that you can travel with different players. You can do. I think you can do more with that speed. But I understand all the arguments for Butler. I get it. He is. You know, he's a football player. He's tough. He's competitive. He brings that energy that, I mean, look, even like the Ravens game on the road, you know, who was the one talking trash to Harbaugh?
Malcolm Butler,
you know? I mean, you got to love that. So that has given up a lot. And for a defense that lost a lot of other, like, leadership last year, so I think you might be already worried about intangibles. And then you lose a guy like that on top of, you know, some of the other leaders you've lost, like with Logan Ryan and Wesley Woodyard and things like that. At some point, you probably look at that and say, we can't keep hemorrhaging guys who emotionally lead this defense.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, a.k.a. Titans and True, texting in, says, easy decision. Bye-bye, Adoree. The Butler did it. You keep Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, maybe
I don't
you're
think
right.
It's an easy decision, but I do think right now, like, Titans fans, the way they view this, I think a lot of people love Malcolm Butler, which is pretty funny because the first, like, 7 weeks he was here, yeah, people thought it was a total disaster bringing Malcolm Butler in. Maybe I was one of those.
Well, yeah. He was – I mean, he just kept gambling and getting smoked. It kind of reminds – you know, it's kind of like Roger Saffold the next year. It's like these high-priced free agents come in the first few weeks, like, what is going on? And then they figure it out.
Right.
And those are both important guys. Both guys who – yeah, I don't think Saffold's – a discussion here, but again, that would be one of those out of left field guys, you know. So I mean, I've basically talked myself into why it should be Butler staying, but I'll stick with Adoree. It's just he is. speed is still speed, you know, and it's just the physicality of Butler in certain matchups is great. Overall, you love him on your football team. I got to pick speed.
I mean, Roger Saffold does have a $12 million cap hit next year. It's pretty good, though.
He does now.
Played pretty well.
Yeah. Now you, so you would save 7.5 of it if you cut him. But yeah, like I don't think that's even. But I don't know.
I mean, the way they run the ball and how big of a part of it he is, like you got to keep him around, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm just bringing him up because, and like I brought up Byard just because it's like who's the out of left field thing? We start talking about how tight the money's going to be. It's probably not out of left field. It's just probably a bunch of guys. Vaccaro and goodbye, Jayon, and one of these corners.
Brian Porth, the Butler Adoree Jackson conversation. If you had to pick one, who are you keeping?
I trust Malcolm Butler more right now, but Butler's older. And we all know in this league that there's a cliff that you fall off of at some point. And not saying that Butler's at that point, but with the fact that they moved on from Jarrell Casey last offseason, when we all felt pretty good about Casey, especially after that performance in the playoffs, and we were all like, all right, why are you moving on from Jarrell Casey? It kind of leads me to think that Butler would be the one to get cut. But having said that, you could tell that there was some sort of frustration in Mike Vrabel's voice talking about Adoree Jackson all season, and I do wonder how that plays into this conversation.
Yep, I agree. I think Vrabel, yeah, wow, not just Vrabel. I think up and down the list on that team, like everybody loves Malcolm Butler. And again, like I think everybody likes Adoree Jackson. He's happy-go-lucky guy. But if they could transfer how Butler approaches things to Adoree Jackson, you might have a perennial Pro Bowler. Maybe I'm overstating things, but it's just such a different personality.
And going back to the whole, you know, salary cut conversation, I do think there's probably going to be one or two surprises on this roster that get cut because we know that this team has glaring needs. And, you know, Jared went through a lot of different options yesterday after you were on with him, Joe. And there were a couple of surprises in there for me just listening. And then he mapped it out and it's like, okay, well, if you do all of this, you still don't have a ton of cap space if you want to bring back Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and go get a pass rusher. Like, this team's going to look pretty different than what it looked like last year.
Yeah. Well, we've gone up and down. Any surprises we haven't discussed here?
I was surprised, but it made sense that he brought up Saffold's name. Saffold is not a name that we've talked about a lot. I mean, a lot of that conversation is centered around Vaccaro or Humphreys or maybe even Ben Jones. He didn't say to cut Saffold, but he said he was thinking about it if there was a cheaper option that could do, you know, comparable work to Saffold. But ultimately did not go down that road because at some point you got to keep your offense, you know, some of your offensive line together.
Hey, Taylor Lewan, man, $9.5 million. I mean, put everybody up there. Just put them all on there.
David Questenberry, Tannehill, left tackle.
Tannehill, how much do you save by cutting Tannehill? What do you think? If you cut Tannehill and Henry both, you'd be in great
cap shape.
Actually, you'd actually take a bath, but anyway.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wade in Portland texts in, says, cut Butler and Adoree. You re-sign King for the slot, Borders for depth. You sign A.J. Boye and draft a corner in the second or third round to both compete for the other outside spot opposite Fulton. So you're cutting both, Butler and Adoree going.
See ya. $20 million. You just saved $20 million. Congratulations. You don't have a secondary, but you saved $20 million. Breon Borders.
He played well for about a game and a half, 2 games.
Wasn't sure we'd heard Breon Borders' name today, but hey.
Let's go get Jonathan Joseph back.
Let's bring him back in there, baby.
Bring him in for $1 million. That'd be cheap.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the Titans will need all the help they can get at corner this offseason with Indy upgrading at quarterback and Jacksonville bringing in a rookie phenom. So that person convinced Carson Wentz is an upgrade over Phillip Rivers. Could be.
Yeah. I don't think it's a crazy thought.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like you have to fix your pass defense. You know? You're gonna fix your pass defense by just starting over at corner? I mean, that may be the only way to pay a big-time pass rusher, but Now it's totally the Rob Peter to pay Paul thing here with this team. But again, this isn't the only team going through this stuff. And I do. I wonder. I don't think like – I mean, the more that we talk about it, I look at it, it's like, gosh, you think Aaron Brewer, he was in there, he did okay? You cut Saffold and Ben Jones?
Wouldn't throw any more passes to him, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Aaron Brewer and draft someone. Saffold and Ben Jones are out. You just saved what did you just save? You just saved 14 mil. Cut Saffold, Ben Jones, Adoree Butler. You saved 34 mil.
And you don't have a secondary or an offensive line.
Yeah, but hey.
But you got Derrick Henry. Space, baby. Come
hey,
on.
They can go sign Shaq Barrett now.
There you go.
$22 million a season, Shaq Barrett. When we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll get into the Nashville Predators. An important week beginning tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. Is this the last chance for the Predators to get their season back on track? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How would you like to watch the Preds game in style? Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show in the 9 o'clock hour as we will reveal a key word for you to text into the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and a food for your homegate. You must be 21 or older to enter. We'll have that opportunity for you coming up later today in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, Joe, tonight taking on the Detroit Red Wings in a really important week for the Predators coming up. Got a big win last Saturday night against Columbus, taking on Detroit at 6:30 tonight, pregame at 5:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So two games on the road this weekend, or this week against Detroit, taking on Columbus at home on Saturday and Sunday. Is this the last chance for the Predators to get their season back on track? Like, as you look at the schedule, I read it off yesterday, Carolina, Florida, Florida, Carolina, Carolina, Tampa, Tampa, Florida, Florida, coming up after this. That's a heck of a stretch. Is this the chance for the Predators to try to dig themselves out of the hole they've started with to begin the season?
I mean, is it a chance?
That's what I'm asking.
I'm asking you back. Yeah, I don't. Hey, look, again, in that room, just duplicate what you did the other night again and again and again. You know, beat the Red Wings one time. Out here, I mean, let's take it this way. Let's say they have a good run here against the Red Wings and they get it back close to 500. Let's say they even do well enough that they're hanging by a thread in the playoff race. I mean, right now they are 8 points behind the Blackhawks. They do have two games in hand on the Blackhawks, but of course I don't even know how that will all shake out by the end of this, you know. But
right.
If this team hangs in there, which I think is a big, big feat at this point, I would be super impressed if they did. Does it still change what we're really talking about with what needs to happen?
No. I mean, that's the way that I was going to answer this question. To me, if you – let's say you roll off 3 of 4 this week, or even 4 of 4. You win all 4 games this week. Does that save the season? No. I mean, you're still in a similar spot. If you lose, if you go, you know, 2-2, or you go 1-3 this week, I don't see the path of digging your way out. Anyway, like I think at that point, you kind of accept that this team is what it is, and you start thinking about some of the conversations that we had yesterday, when what you're going to do to address some of the needs that they're going to have moving forward. Maybe some younger guys getting some looks as well. So I'll answer it that way. Like, can the Predators get their season back on track this week? No, I think they can keep it from totally derailing this week. That would be the way I would answer it.
They can prolong things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, even if you, like, look, you win all 4 games, you're 11-10. So, I mean, you're in a better spot for sure, and maybe you make up some ground. Problem is, you're going to have to win some games against the upper echelon teams in the division. We know how it's gone against Tampa Bay so far this year. Florida gift-wrapped you a game and then totally dominated you the next game. Carolina, you've only seen one time, so there's not a huge sample size there. But, I mean, Carolina's playing really well right now. Tampa Bay, we know what they are. Florida has been one of the surprises of the league so far. So you've got to do some damage. To have any chance whatsoever, you've got to do some damage against those teams. And based on what we've seen so far, I think that is unlikely.
I mean, if you wake up every day and you sing zippity-doo-dah to yourself and you are the shiniest, sunniest optimist out there, you could say, you could look at what Porth pointed out about this team statistically with and without Ryan Johansson. Say Ryan Johansson's coming back. Maybe things just turn around dramatically because of that. We've heard from people with the club who've been very happy with how Johansson was playing. The production wasn't there. That's got to be there. But certainly, his absence is massive, and his presence is important even if he's not producing. So you could look at it that way and say, okay, get well this week, get back around to 500, and then take a shot healthier. And I don't know what with Ekholm, that's another key player missing right now. Take one more swing at it. You got to get to this week first and be almost perfect.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to take. And what you can't have, I mean, it feels like every time we've had this conversation this year, you're coming off a good win, maybe a chance to build on something, and it just hasn't happened. Like, I remember the game against Florida where you come back and you win it. Forsberg's got 5 points. You win it in the way that they won that game. I thought, okay, I mean, this could be an opportunity to springboard this team. And then you came out, and it was just an absolute dud after that. Like, if you have a dud tonight against Detroit or Thursday against Detroit, that to me is a huge red flag with this group.
Well, that's been something that you can't really trust them to do even before this season.
I mean, agreed.
When you date back to the 18-19 season, you know, I'll always bring up where things really, for me, started feeling off with this team from what it was in the playoffs and the President's Trophy was they hammered Washington at home, like 7-2. Arvidsson had a hat trick. It was amazing. Two nights later, they lose 5-1 at home to Winnipeg. And it was from there, this roller coaster of big win, then disappointing loss. Close win, horrific loss. You know, it was just these ebbs and flows that were dramatic with this team from game to game. And just because they won Saturday doesn't mean that I think we're all going to trust them to go out there and have a great 60-minute effort tonight at Detroit.
Look, you need 2 Yarncroke goals a night, you're home free, okay? Yarncroke, score twice every night. I think this team's got a shot.
Didn't we disprove that yesterday?
Oh, that's right. Okay. It's a new year. It's a new team. This team is going to be more reliant on Yarncroke and will vault forward with Yarncroke scoring goals.
You giving Pekka the start tonight?
Yeah. Will he?
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
I just knew you had some strong thoughts on Pekka yesterday, so I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity.
Well, talking about protected, unprotected, you know, I don't even know where that all goes. But yeah.
Okay,
you brought it up, man.
Oh, no, I didn't know it was going to go down that route. On that note, when we come back.
Free agents.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what do you think? Man.
On that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nashville Sounds General Manager Adam Neuse. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to have some baseball back in our city very, very shortly. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Nashville Sounds General Manager Adam Neuse. Adam, thanks for taking time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having us on. Always excited to talk baseball. So thanks so much.
Absolutely. So, Adam, you guys officially announcing your affiliation with the Milwaukee Brewers. And we know if you've been around Nashville for a long time at all, you know that was a long partnership beginning back in the mid-2000s as well. What does that partnership with the Brewers mean to you and your club?
Yeah, you know, the Brewers certainly were here back when we were at Greer. And it's great to have them back. They're great guys. We got a manager that you're going to love. His name's Rick Sweet. winning record while he's been in AAA, played in the big leagues, played with the Padres, Mets, Mariners back in late 70s, early 80s, and he's just a treat, and he's going to be great for our fans and a fun guy to have in. But the Brewers are an organization that kind of under the radar have been really good the last 3 years, and they made it to the playoffs, lost to the Dodgers, Nationals, and Dodgers. So they just came across the World Series champs a little early, but they've had a great organization, a great system, and excited to have the Brewers back.
So, Adam, we've had a lot of people on the show in the past few months wondering, what is it like going through this? I mean, the pandemic, obviously it affects every aspect of life, but we've talked mostly with people who, have gone through it and have been able to play through it. What's it been like for you guys, to lose the season and to try to fight your way back to where we are now? What have the past few months been like in the organization?
Yeah, it's funny that it's going to end up being 581 days between our last game and our next game.
Wow. It's amazing.
For us, it's been a long journey, and I'm an eternal optimist, so everything, I was the one that said, oh, there's no way our season gets canceled. No way we don't start April 15th last year, and every step of the way, I was like, oh, it'll be back open, and so it's been a long journey of kind of week by week for 581 days, and just kind of thinking that it was going to end and thinking that there was an end in sight, but here we are. We finally are at a point that it looks like opening day will be April 6th, and we're ready to go, and we've been planning these 70 parties that we're going to have. We've been planning them for over 500 days, so we're going to be ready and excited, and it's going to be a great experience for the fans and city of Nashville.
Nashville Sounds General Manager Adam Noose on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, Southeast Division this year, the AAA East League, some new rivals on the table for you guys.
Yeah, so over the last 581 days, one of the other things that happened was Major League Baseball took over the operations of Minor League Baseball. So historically, it's all run out of St. Petersburg, Florida. Now it's run out of New York City, and one of the changes they made was to change up all of the alignment. So we're no longer in the Pacific Coast League, which we used to go to Tacoma, Sacramento, and not very convenient trips. Now we get to go start playing like the Braves farm system for the first time, the Tigers, Indians, Reds, White Sox, Pirates, Rays, Orioles, all of those for the first time. So we'll still have the Cardinals affiliate coming in, but a lot of new teams coming to Nashville. And if you're a fan of any of those teams, there's going to be finally an opportunity for them to come to Nashville.
So wait, I just want to. You said 70s parties. Give us a little bit more detail on this. You said 70s, yeah.
70 parties, yeah. So we play 100. We actually play 142 games.
Oh,
season.
I'm sorry, 70 parties. Okay, my bad. I was about to break out the bell bottoms.
70s party, yeah, I got you. But no, we play 142 game season over about 150 days. So you think you want to be a minor league baseball player, it's certainly a grind. They go and play all the time, and if they're not playing, they're traveling. So it's a journey.
Adam, as you well know, for anybody who's been to a Sounds game and been to the ballpark, it's such an awesome experience, and just the environment there and all the different options of things you can do. You watch the game. The sandbox out there as well. There's so many things to do. It's such a great experience. And as we know, we've had to adapt to a lot of things over the course of the last year. I know things change on seemingly a daily basis nowadays, but what do you anticipate it's going to look like from a fan perspective with, this season and, trying to, obviously with the capacity of the crowd changing as well. What do you think it's going to look like for you guys? I think we may have lost Adam on the phone line. It's okay. We'll see if we can't get him back.
Was he mad that I mentioned 70s parties? I love the 70s, man. A little disco ball.
Yeah, man.
That is a grind. To your point there, that is a terrific night out. Weather, family, good, but also not with the kids, good.
Yeah. I mean, is that
go out,
true?
You know, go out to right field, you know? Leave the kids at home, go out to right field.
Just stay over there and have a good time. Wow. You're just leaving your kids out of the party, man.
They don't really want to hang out with us anyway. They asked for 4 hot dogs.
It is amazing, though. So, 581 days. Can you imagine? Like you said, we've talked about this process with, you know, NHL teams, NFL teams, MLB teams. And there were times it looked bleak, but you found a way to play, and you found a way to get through it. Like, even on the college side of things, minor league baseball just totally shut down last year. Like, trying to find, you know, an answer for that and trying to find your way and get through it, I imagine, has just been brutal for these teams.
No doubt. Right. And it's most leagues, thankfully, have been able to plow through this. But here's an example of, you know, long time coming, long time waiting to get to this point.
Speaking of baseball, Vanderbilt back in action yesterday. I tell you what, those top two pitchers they've got, they're going to win a lot of games this year, my man.
Yeah, it's like it's a heck of a flex because, you know, I do look at Vanderbilt, and there are questions. There's a lot of young guys in that lineup. I don't know, you know, if they're going to be, you know, there are better and more seasoned lineups in college baseball, no question. But, man, when you come out and flex like that and say, here's Kumar Rocker and here's Jack Leiter, back-to-back, yeah, that's – I mean, I don't know if they're going to be 1-2. I think Rocker's going to be 1.
Yeah.
Boy, Leiter's stuff is nasty.
It was gross. Like, Rocker was throwing a slider yesterday that it moves – I mean, it just completely falls off the table at the last second. I don't even know how the catcher catches it. It falls off the table. And then you've got Leiter coming in the next game, and there was a sequence where he struck a guy out 3 pitches in a row. It was 97, 97, 98. Just pumping gas
right
in there.
Low in the zone with that kind of velocity and movement, ridiculous.
So, I mean, we talked about it last year with college baseball being canceled. I thought Vanderbilt had a great chance of repeating as national champions. I think they got a pretty good chance this year, too. They're going to be very good. That pitching staff is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and that's the thing. Although, you know, obviously, they won the second game 1-0 yesterday. Wasn't anything to write home about offensively. I mean, they've got arms all up and down that bullpen too, so I think they do have a chance. I mean, obviously last year you have Austin Martin and you have other guys in that team who sadly, you know, just the season didn't happen or didn't finish, and that's how it went. So there's definitely some young guys who are going to be counted on, but if they figure it out and they have enough offensively, they're going to be right there. You see the Cooper Davis foul off the face? That did not look –
no.
Boy, you know, when I watched that, I'm like, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen that exactly, and I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
You know? Like, randomly, that doesn't happen a little bit more often, but that could have been bad. Apparently, it's just a broken nose.
Yeah.
That could have been real bad.
But still, it's not fun, but yeah, it could have been a whole lot worse.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. No. But he's a key guy, veteran guy who's had other injuries, you know, who's going to be important. But yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. It is worth, I don't even know what the price of admission is, but like to watch Rocker or Leiter pitch, you're talking about guys who might be long-term, big-time, top-of-the-rotation major league guys, both on the same freaking college team. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, good luck to weekend, you know, hitters trying to go up against that back-to-back. That'll work out well.
Yeah, but, you know, the SEC is just absolutely jam-packed. I mean, everybody talks about the SEC in football. The SEC is a baseball league, right?
Man. Like, to that point, I mean, I think it's fair to say the SEC probably cares about college baseball more than any other conference in the league or in the country by far.
Like Big 12.
Pac-12. But SEC baseball, it's ridiculous how good it is. Like on the grand scheme of things, as people view this Vanderbilt baseball team, how much do you think people care? How much of an interest level do you think is there? Because I think it's gotten pretty high over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean,
relatively speaking.
So I don't remember what this was exactly, but tried to do a list of teams in the state that can win a major championship, and I said Vanderbilt baseball, and I got a lot of pushback on that's not a major championship. I disagree with you. You know, I do think that college baseball is a niche sport compared to, you know, college football,
sure,
and certainly compared to Major League Baseball. I mean, it's down the pecking order, But, you know, when you have a team this special and a program this special that churns out guys who are, if you love baseball, and there's a lot of people, I think, in Nashville who love baseball, and here's your chance to go see a bunch of future pros. So I think there is a lot of interest. I mean, I think Rocker especially brings a certain level of star power. I don't know what it was like with, like, Dansby Swanson a few years ago, or, you know, so many other, David Price. I assume that that got some attention in town, right?
People go watch. Oh, yeah. When David Price was there, even Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray.
Those two, especially being homegrown kids, that definitely got people's attention around town.
And I think that's a big part of making it more popular in a given year. I mean, this is your last chance to watch him as a college kid carve people up. And I think the College World Series, I've only been there once, the last time they won it. That's a great event.
Yeah.
And that to me makes it a major championship. Even if you don't have a lot of national coverage of college baseball, the Omaha has its own little place in the sports calendar where it's what's happening in sports.
Yeah. It's great. I've never been, but just watching it, I enjoy watching it. So I've heard that is a bucket list item if you're a sports fan, going to the College World Series in Omaha.
I've been there.
Have you?
I was at the old stadium with my dad.
Okay.
We actually bought tickets to whatever year it was when David Price and that team was number one, thinking that we were going to see them in Omaha.
They lost to Michigan, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That 07?
Still got to go.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming for you on Friday. When we come back, we'll get into the news of the day. Isaiah Wilson and his tweet from last night. What does it mean for him moving forward? What does it mean for the Tennessee Titans? That's next. This is Robbie and Rextro live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.